again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
Indeed, you are, young William. And this week, we've got a good show for you. We're going to talk a bit about pointers, the national specialty. National specialties in general, big kennels of the past, easy champions, question mark, and breed entries. All that and more right here on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, oh, oh,
oh. Well, hey there, young William. Welcome back from Petawawa.
Yes, I was in Petawawa for the weekend at the Champlain Kennel Club.
Uh-huh. How did that go?
Oh, it went really well. You know, Petawawa is a small town out. It's in the Ottawa Pembroke area, but more people will know where Ottawa is, I suppose. Yeah.
This is Canada we're speaking about, not the Antarctic or anything.
It's a small show up there, and it's put on by the Champlain Kennel Club and Dean Dennis. And Dean Dennis is now the Don King of dog shows up here in Canada.
Does he have his hair combed straight up now?
Sometimes he shows up like that, but there's not that much hair. He's a great guy, and he wants to have dog shows for people, and he helps out.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
But I'll tell you, the town of Petawawa, they support that show. It's fun to see, and you see people walking the streets to the dog show. You know?
Really? That is cool. Yes. That's what we need more of. That sounds wonderful. Yeah. I would have loved it.
That's just a small show. It was like 400 dogs or something. But
yeah.
But it was, we had a lot of fun, and we all stayed around and watched all the groups, no matter what. You know, it was just a fun show and a good time.
You know, we have 300 and 400 dog shows down here too. You know, so 400's a big show, relatively speaking, I guess, right? But did you win any ribbons?
Oh, we did. We had a good weekend there. Setter actually got his first best in show.
Oh, congratulations.
Yep.
Here's
John. Was Jill's 19th homebred best in show winner.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that is impressive.
Yeah.
That's Jill Taylor. Sometimes we throw out the first name. You don't know what we're talking about. It's Captiva, right? Captiva Kennels.
Yeah.
Jill Taylor, Captiva Kennels. We're going to start trying to use.
I've known Jill since she was a little girl. She was the child of Brian and Judy Taylor, who they were two of my heroes growing up, obviously, in the handling. And Jill and I just, we've always hit it off since we were kids. And
that's what together. You know, that's what it's all about, right? Having those generations hanging in there. And good for her. And she's bred some dogs that have done well everywhere.
Four different countries, apparently, she told me.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Well, I'm glad you had fun. How's your weather up there? Was it indoors?
It was indoors, and it was, it rained a lot of the weekend, but it wasn't cold. I think we had one cold day, but I'll tell you, when I got home, I got home, and it was a beautiful day, so I started doing some yard work that afternoon. Snow came down. You couldn't see the yard again.
The whole coast had all kinds of weather this weekend. And, and by the way, before we go on, I'm sorry about last week. No voice at all last week. So we're nursing this puppy back. And if I sound a little gravelly or it's not because I was partying last night. I was in bed at 8:30. We're just trying to get these cords back in order.
The life of the two podcast, you know, celebrities. We're up all night.
That's right. Yeah. Partying with rock stars. Actually, being up late for us is because the Beagles need to pee.
Because they wake me up. And go, you can't go to sleep yet, Dad. I have to go out again. You know.
Well, this morning, Olive was over to visit. That's our daughter's Beagle. She stays with us during the day sometimes. And I turned around and looked, and Hazel and Olive, both Beagles. Now, I was away for a week, right? So the two of them are on Cheryl's side of the bed, all 4 feet up on the mattress looking up. And I'm like, oh, is there any chance that maybe these guys get in the bed after when I'm away? You know, why were they sitting there wanting to get in bed? Oh, maybe just for a few minutes, you know?
Yeah. Well, but Clark, my Bouvier, was gone for the weekend too. He was gone for a sex weekend.
I see. Dating.
He was
romantic getaway.
Right. Right. And I have a girl that grooms Clark for me, bathes him just because of the sheer acreage. She bathes him, dries him for me. And I was texting her and messaging her about, you know, he's not home yet because I missed his first appointment. And I said, well, he's gone for a sex weekend. And her response was, I'm getting off the phone now.
Good idea. You know, you do have to watch that. We talked about this before. You have to watch those conversations in restaurants, right?
Oh, God.
Some of our terminology doesn't go well in the general area of your table. You know, you have to be careful. Anyway, I'm exhausted too. Now, you had a 4-day, right?
4 days.
Yeah. How'd that wear on the body?
Oh, I'm telling you. I only had my two dogs with me. Well, I had three of them with me because I couldn't see just giving butters to Monica for the weekend because usually Monica might take the dogs for me when I go away on the weekend.
Yeah.
But Clark was gone. So I just had butters and the other beagle, Jay and Narasetta. So I just took them all with me. But I was on the second floor of the hotel.
I understand.
It wore on me a little bit.
I'll bet.
I tried to limp down to the front desk and say, I'm crippled. I need the fourth floor. It didn't matter. They didn't have any first floor.
No, they were done.
Edinburgh only has one or maybe two hotels in the area.
Did you get the cart? Did they have the cart?
No, I didn't get the cart.
I'm always looking for the cart now.
Are you?
Yeah, I got to have the cart. I don't care if I have two bags. I want the cart. We stayed. Oh, well, I was away as well. This was quite the journey. I flew from Kalamazoo to Atlanta, Georgia. And Brody, our son, drove from Maryland to Atlanta and picked me up at the airport. And then we drove together down to Perry, Georgia for the Pointer National. And we had a fine time down there.
Oh, sure.
And then we drove from there to my sister's in North Carolina. The best part is we're exhausted. We get there and all of a sudden all the relatives start showing up. I'm like, oh, this is nice. You know, see everybody. It was great, really, to see everybody. And then all of a sudden I see the dining room table set beautifully and my sister puts out this beautiful dinner. I'm like, wow, this is really impressive, you know? And then there's Easter eggs and I'm like, oh, this is Easter dinner. I had no idea it was Easer. No idea it was Sunday.
We tend to do that in dog shows. We forget about things like that.
No idea, right? So we had that. It was wonderful to see. Really fun to see all the kids. I mean,
you thought they were having that spread just for your arrival.
I did. I really did. And then the nephews were there, and their wife and kid, and it was great fun. We had a really good time. And then in the morning, we drove from North Carolina back to Maryland, and Brody driving with his new pup. And it poured, raining the entire 8 hours, which turned into, I think, 10. It was just, it didn't stop for 1 second. The storm followed us all the way to Maryland. And then I woke up, I don't know what day it was. I assume it was yesterday. And Brody drove me to the airport, and I flew from Maryland back to Kalamazoo. And I am tired.
Not sure. It was probably the most fun. You probably had a great time.
Oh, we had a
great time. But it's so wearing on you. You know,
it is. And I watched, you know, I said to Brody, he goes, Dad, after watching these people pack up all these expenses and stuff and load up and then drive to Nebraska from here. I don't know. He said, I'm a young, fit guy and I'm exhausted just watching them. It's a tough, hard business on the body. It doesn't matter if you're a handler or an exhibitor. It's hard.
Oh, for sure. And you know, it gives me anxiety. Like, I remember doing all that for about 30 plus years. I remember, I think I said this before, I was at a show with Adam. It was just giving me anxiety watching the number of dogs that were in their care. They had, I was like, come on, my beagle and I said, we're going to the hotel room. Yeah,
right. Well, you know, it's what you're used to, right? I mean, my dad took the train to New York City from New Jersey every day, 5:30 in the morning. And I did too. And after doing that for 15 years, I move out here and I drive to the office with zero traffic in 10 minutes. I can come home for lunch and still have time left over to go back.
Yeah.
I was so used to the other thing that I never dawned on me. It was wrong, or not wrong, but hard. I knew it was hard, but I didn't realize it was different. And the same thing with showing dogs, you know, once you stop, you're like, hey, you look back and go, this is not easy.
Well, I remember asking when Bob and Jane retired from showing dogs, I remember asking Bob, he was up here judging, and asking him how long it took for his body to get back to normal. He said it was about 2 years.
You know, I'll bet.
He recovered from showing dogs.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah, it was, and he drove the bus, you know, most of the time, and just the driving itself. Brody wouldn't let me drive, which I found interesting. He uses the GPS, Will. That's what he uses. He trusts the computer.
Yeah.
We saw some beautiful two-lane back roads. I'm not sure. You see, the GPS thinks it's smart, so it tells you, you know, somebody has a flat tire, go out of your way for 90 miles and then get back on the highway. And you just blindly follow it. I'm too old. I want to know. I want to see the map or something.
Did he have a map in his vehicle?
He doesn't even know what one is. Yeah, no idea what one is. I'm coming back from hockey camp years ago in Toronto. I stopped at the rest area and got a map. And he thought it was hysterical. He just thought it was. And I want to know what's around, you know, where I am. Sure. Because I'd say, even in Maryland, I'd say, where are we, bro? Look on the, just all you got to do is blow up the map, Dad. So all you got to, you know, blow up the GPS. I'm like, why would I need to do that? I just want to know. I want to see the thing, you know? Yep. But,
they just punch in restaurants near me and then they get a whole pile of them. Yep. The attractions near me and they get a whole pile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it's really, anywhere the GPS says to go, they, you know, that's where you go. And I know that there's a straight highway somewhere that'll get me there. Yep. But the ride from Perry to Maryland was beautiful. Through Georgia, we weren't on much of a highway. We were just two lanes, an island in the middle. We were the only car. It was quite nice, actually. That was the sunny day of driving. But it didn't last long. We got caught up the next day. Anyway, a fine time was had at the Pointer National. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Many things. First of all, the entry was 140 pointers. And that's pretty darn good. I know if I wasn't the first one to win it when it was over 100, it was in that ballpark. It was rare. And that was 1980. First time I won it with Miles, and that was over 100, which was rare. But the entries have been really good. The entries the day before leading up to, by the way, this is the Pointer National was held in Perry, Georgia, at the National Fairgrounds. And they had their separate building, a whole building, with a 100-foot by 80-foot ring, which I got to tell you, Will, when they're not moving well.
That's a long time to watch them.
You want to call a stretcher. It's not pretty. But anyway, they had that building. And then you could, if you could find your way to the other buildings, you could watch some other parts of the dog show. It's quite a hike and journey. And all I thought of was the poor handlers trying to work the show with, you know, it's golf carts galore and flying by with crates on the back. And it's really spread out. But Pointers had their own building, which is kind of nice. You could just park over near there and set up for the weekend and leave your chairs. It was great. But the entry went like, you know, 60, 70, 80, up to 140. So there's a big entry every day. So the weird part was because the Pointer National was an independent event, even though it was over in plenty of time, they weren't eligible for the group because there was no pointers allowed at the Aubrey, so the National would be supported. You know what I mean? It's really confusing. Yeah, you look confused. Yeah. So the National was a separate event held in conjunction with the Aubrey. So the first 3 days, it was part of the Aubrey. But technically, the fourth day, it was an independent event. So
does that mean there was pointers twice that day?
No, they weren't allowed. No classes for pointers at the Aubrey.
All right.
So that's weird. Whoever won the National could have gone best in show, but
right, exactly. You
know, they didn't do it that way. Different thing. But it was fun. It was fun having Brody there because, I mean, first of all, this isn't my first Pointer National, and I can't even count them. I can't even begin to. But Paula Nykl was there. I'm going to use last names now. I'm trying to reach this, you know, trying to reach a bigger audience. Will
okay. last names? Yes, we don't. Yeah. Okay.
Marjorie Mortarella from New Jersey. Paula Nykl from Washington, Missouri. I don't know how you say it. I'm not even going to try.
You say Missouri.
Nancy Tuthill from Maryland.
Missouri Loves Company.
It's true.
That's all we have for you today, folks.
Nancy Tuttle from Maryland now, wife of Henry Tuttle, both of Cumbrian fame, Henry from California originally. So between us, and there are plenty of others too, Howard and Karen Spey, between us, we probably had 250 years of pointer experience sitting in five chairs, you know. And yet we all had to say to Brody, who's up on this now, because he's been studying like crazy the last year. We'd say to him, who's that? And Brody would know who everybody was, who the dogs were, who the handlers were, because we don't know the young handlers, right? He goes, oh, that's so-and-so, that's so-and-so. So here the four of us were sitting there going, we're talking about the dogs, like, you know, and then all of a sudden we go, oh, who's that? And Brody would go, oh, actually, Dad, that's the dog you gave the breed to, and it woofed stock this fall. And, you know, I mean, it was pretty funny watching the new guy teach the old people who people were. But the entry was intriguing. You know, I have to say, the big ring was darn those who couldn't move. And boy, there was some horrible movement. Horrible. And it's so sad. It's a breed that went. Now, when I went in 80, I was only the second orange and white. We've talked about this before, I think. Liver and white pointers, which you can barely find today, won every national and every Westminster
for years. Yeah,
from the beginning of the sport until 1978, I believe. And the recessive lemon won a few too, but I mean, no black nose, orange and white, or black and whites ever. And here we go in, and they're all orange and white, right? So when we started, and this was Erica Bandy's, she was also there, another 50.
Erica, there you go, yeah.
Erica and Tom and I brought a lot of dogs over. Not a lot, we brought a few influential dogs over from England and Ireland back in the late 70s. And they were rare birds. You know, they were black and white and orange and white. And no one knew what to do with them. But they brought heads and tails and type. The dogs that were existing had great soundness. They were super movers, the liver dogs. Yeah. But they didn't necessarily have an abundance, I would say. There was certainly representatives, but not an abundance of, you know, pointer ears and heads and tails. They're more ropey tails, a little more houndy, a little rounder bone, straighter underlines. But the combination, when we start to mix them up, was getting pretty good, right? They had type and they could walk because you're going back and forth.
Right.
And then us old timers are sitting there going, well, whatever happened? Because it looks like they still have the heads and tails, but some of the movement was really tough to watch.
Going back.
Yeah, it's just trends, right? They go back and forth. With that said, there are some beautiful pointers there. I mean, plenty of quality to pick from. Lots of solids, which we hadn't, you know, used to be a real rare bird. There are lots of them.
I don't see a lot in the all breeds. So
no, you wouldn't.
I'd like to see them.
Yeah, they're all solid blacks and solid livers. I don't think I saw there. It's rare to see a solid orange. They look quite different. You know?
I can't even think. I have seen the solid blacks and the solid livers. I've never seen a solid orange.
You probably won't. But they. You know, they have to have classic heads and tails, or they look like these.
But you know what? The ones that I have seen, I think they did have pretty strong headpieces.
They do. Yeah, they typically do. In fact, most of them do. But you know, it's hard to get this thing together. So I had a message on the way home from one of the old timers saying to me, "Do you think
they phoned you then?"
No. Okay. Telegram. They sent a telegram. Okay. I had to go to 7-Eleven to pick it up. dot Mars code. But a Facebook message it was. But saying, do you think it's bad judging or bad breeding? the lack of depth of quality. Again, tons of good quality, but the depth of quality just wasn't there. And maybe it's always that way. I don't know. But what do you think? Well, bad breeding, bad judging.
Well, we have discussed this before, and I look back to think, because once you have more than three litters a year, you're stamped as a producer of lots of puppies.
Yeah.
But if you look at these Hallmark kennels.
Negatively stamped. You're talking about negatively stamped.
Yeah. If you look at these Hallmark kennels of certain breeds, they had lots of puppies. And they themselves didn't just benefit from having lots of puppies. Everybody who purchased a puppy from said kennel benefited. It's like standing on the shoulders of giants. Like you got right away, you by purchasing a Scants and Giant Schnauzer, you got hundreds of years of expertise in the breed. And that's just gone now. There's very few like that. So I think that's where our depth issue comes, because there's not those Hallmark kennels that are stamping the breeds the way they used to. And the people benefiting from it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Blue Bar English Setters, this is a long time ago, 100 dogs, 100 dog kennels for some of these. Different times, right?
It's not economically feasible anymore to have that many dogs. Like back in those days, you didn't have to be a millionaire to have a big kennel. It would definitely help. But how do you be a millionaire in dogs? You start off as a billionaire, right?
Right.
But nowadays, this is just not economically feasible to have a constant kennel of 100 dogs. It's not. Yeah.
I thought about this because I had three hour layover, and it's a lot of reasons, and I think that's a key one. Having those in depth long term kennels is a big factor. I think specifically then, bad judging. We've been screaming. I'll bet if you go back to 1902, you'll find articles about bad judging. Right?
Yep.
Bad judging has been a topic for a billion years.
And there was social media, you'd hear all that Bob Waters. Everybody ever shook to him?
Right. Exactly. Right. That's going to be there.
God up here.
Yeah. But I think there is a point about, I'm not sure it's bad judging. It's the approach to judging. Again, I hate to go back to it, but it seems to be the stem of everything. There's too many shows, not enough breed entries. And the economic portion of that, of course, is clubs have to hire 3 and 4 group judges, 5 group judges, all-rounders. And it's impossible to be breed-specific, finer points of type in every single breed for most human beings, right? So they may be not looking for as much breed type in those breeds, especially when they have two to pick from.
Right, yeah.
And then, on the other side of that is judges can only judge what's before them. So even if they are experts in that breed, if the dogs that are there don't have those merits and virtues, you just have to pick from something. Can you withhold? Yeah, but are they that bad? They're pointers or they're English setters or whatever it is. It's hard to withhold if they represent the breed and aren't, really truly unsound or have temperament issues. So I don't know about bad judging. I don't know about bad breeding. I think it's a little of that, of both, a little bad judging, a little bad breeding, big kennel-ness. But when you have a zillion shows and the point schedule is so low because there's so few in the breed, most dogs can finish, right?
That's a good point. Do you remember at the beginning of when the shows just started coming back from COVID, huge the class entries were?
Yes.
And that's because that was the only place in town. They had to go there to try to get their majors. They had to go there they couldn't sneak off to a 4-dog major. They had to go against 20 odd dogs and get a major. And that's how it always was when I was growing up. You knew certain shows were going to have those majors. So you would save your class dogs, the ones you need to finish for those shows and get them ready for those shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like you always knew there was going to be setter majors in Old Dominion. You always knew there was going to be that's where you showed up. And it's not the way anymore. Because you're right. So I think glass dogs have really taken the brunt of it too from these mega amount of dog shows.
And when you and people breed a champion, it might not be. Yeah, I tell you, it's tough to sign that book sometimes where it says, "Is this dog merit being a champion?" When you give him winner's dog or winner's bitch, you know, you just kind of routinely do that. Sometimes you need to think about that. But so these people that are, you know, trying, you know, very well-intended hobby breeders, they get a champion. What do you do when you get a champion? You breed it.
You keep going. You're doing something right, you think, right?
So, yeah. And who can blame them, right? They've got five champions. And they, in fact, they'll say, you know, when you had a group of best in show winner 40 years ago, 30 years ago, you had something rare.
Oh, for sure. Like even
everybody's in multi-group best in show winner now.
But like even in the Irish Setter world, there's in the Irish Setter club, I don't know, I'm sure other clubs do this too, but if you finish your dog with like four straight majors, you don't, right. You win like the Golden Leash Award or something like
right.
That's not possible for most breeds anymore because you unless you hold them back until just the majors appear.
Well, unfortunately, in some breeds, you just need four to make to have a major.
That's right.
And these are popular breeds, you know.
Oh, I know.
Not rare breeds. I think Weimaraners are, you know, fours, fives, and sixes is all you need. And plenty of breeds like that, pointers. Because there's hardly any breed entries at these shows and it lowers the point schedule. So I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head, but I'll bet you had to beat 20 or 30 Irish Setters back in the day to get a major. And it's probably eight. I don't know what it is, but it's a fraction of that.
I remember being in Louisville in Boxers and the bitch I was showing winner's bitch. And there were 70 bitches.
Wow. Holy <You know? laughs> That's a major.
That's a major.
Major, major, right? So maybe that needs to change. I don't know. But I know that the sport loves or the AKC loves more champions, the better because they get bred and there's more puppies. But does it perpetuate mediocrity? I don't know. There's even best in show winners and multi-group winners that we all know. In at a 3,000 dog show wouldn't even make the cut in the breed.
Right.
But when you go to enough 500 dog shows, you can set all kinds of records. So I don't know what the answer is, but it's an age old complaint, bad judging, right? I really don't think it's as much that. I do think that there's less breed specific judging, and that is a problem, mm-hmm. right? But that's par for the course. If you're a breed expert in three breeds and those that you got to prove for, good luck getting assignments. You know, you're going to get someone who bred toy poodles judging your Gordon Setters. And they may be fine at it, but do they know the finer points?
You know, right. Right. Yeah.
It's always fun to look back. I often look back in the AKC Judges Searchable Confirmation Directory, which is excellent. You can find out what were the first breeds of a judge, right? You can look and see what first breeds they're approved for. And sometimes you're looking, you go, oh man, Shih Tzu breeders doing Bernese Mountain Dogs this weekend. Now, of course, there's 20 years between where they had time to learn, and I'm sure they did. But in all cases, that makes it more interesting to look at. And that's just not true in other countries. You know, we have a very unique system, and I'm not sure how it affects the quality of our dogs and the quality of our judging, but it's an issue. It's always been an issue, but I think it's an issue. When you go to a national, you expect more depth of quality, I guess. There's also a temperament test at the Pointer National. Big metal building, the hardest downpour rain you ever heard in your life, and then thunder. And when the thunder hit, a large portion hit the deck. I mean, like lost. And it's easy to say, and we would, right? And we do. We say, well, you know, that thunder was scared everybody. Well, I don't know, shotgun about 20 feet from your ear, that'll scare you too.
Yeah, but I've always argued that. That is a valid point. But I also think that when the dogs are out doing their job,
yeah,
and instincts take over, those things don't bother them.
That's true. That's true. Like, there's adrenaline.
The dog focus. Show is entirely different. You've already put them into a situation that they're not naturally meant to be in. Dog show, you're in a tin building running around in a circle, and your owner is holding you by the head and tail while some strange dude goes over you.
That's true.
As much as we love that, that's not what they were meant to do. So like I had an English setter that whenever she had issues with outside noise, but you put her in the field, nothing bothered. Yeah.
No, with that, I totally agree. I think you're right. With that said, there was a field trial class, tails, lash, and they didn't blink. Now, are they used to all that? I don't know. So what do? We shoot more blank guns when they're eating their food to condition them. My dad used to.
I'm showing you a dog. So I was showing this dog, and everybody knew that the dog had some noise issues. So this judge told me, he was outside the ring. He was a big fan of this dog. And he said, he handed me a starter's pistol. He said, take this home with you and start shooting over the dog and then get him used to the noises. So I said, thank you. And I put it in my pocket, in my jacket pocket. I'm in the ring and a good friend of mine is judging the breed. And he does give me the breed. And I said, good thing you gave me the breed. And I tapped my pocket. And he just looked at me. I said, things are getting a bit spicy around here. You know, I had to start looking out for myself. Oh, can you imagine doing that now, though? You'd be carted off to jail, probably.
You would be barred for life. But yeah, you know, we used to bang pans and, you know, do all that while they were eating, not when they were just standing there getting their nails. Let's try when they're getting their nails cut. Bang, bang. It'd be a great idea.
That's my old boss used to throw pans to make them shut up in the kennel.
Pans going. Exactly.
Like an idiot.
Sometimes over the crate, let's say crate. But, you know, Brody and his wife are board certified behavioral analysts. And I can't even explain what all that means, but they're smart kids. And Brody's back new in the sport. We've mentioned this before. And he's looking at people when their dogs are getting scared, they're going, knock it off, you know, stop it. And he's looking like, do they know this is completely counterintuitive and the absolute wrong thing to do?
Yep.
You know, they're embarrassed, I guess. I don't know why. Knock it off.
Their adrenaline spikes and they start to do things they wouldn't normally do, of course.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you just be calm to them? Try to calm them down then, you know?
What I've always taught my students is that when your dog has an issue like that, I always tell them to act like nothing's happening.
Exactly.
Don't go down there and control them and say, or don't get mad at them, because then they think something's wrong.
Exactly.
You know, just carry on, get through it. And then most of them go, oh, nothing's really wrong. And then they snap out of it.
Well, I've learned a lot about that stuff from Brody. And for example, when our granddaughter's over and she's, you know, 18 months old, when she throws she's sitting in her high chair eating, and when she throws something on the ground, you know, I run down, pick it up, wash it off, and give it back to her. He goes, no, you just ignore it. Completely look the other way. Don't even acknowledge it. Same sort of behavior, right? You do the same thing when they freak out. You don't even acknowledge it. Like, it's not a big deal. Yeah. It just makes sense, Will. Instead of going, knock it off, you idiot.
Exactly, right? Because that's going to work.
Don't be scared.
I'm not scared anymore because you're choking me.
Right, exactly. That's a really good idea. Yeah, sometimes I think some of those old school training methods we have to rethink. Maybe they weren't so good after all. So I don't know.
Check. Oh, I always get so angry on certain people because they'll see them showing their dog and they'll check it so much.
Yeah.
And every time they check it, as short as tragic, next goes back. And I try to explain to them, and you always check back. I always say, okay, so you're checking back, but you want your dog to go forward. Does that make a whole lot of sense to you?
Think about it, right? It's true. Just like the harness thing, you know, when people put harnesses on their dogs so they don't pull them. Have you heard about sled dogs? You put them in a harness and they pull on purpose.
I had this thing with Santa Claus that all she did was walk them on harnesses, and they would pull away from the owner to the left. So every time I got them, they naturally sidewinded. And I used to tell her, you're training them to sidewind. You're training them to walk sideways.
Yeah.
I ended up showing the dog on the wrong side, and they get all mad at me because it looks ridiculous. You're flipping the lead like that. It's the only way I can counterbalance what you've taught them. The only way I can.
Yeah, harnesses are a great idea.
Oh, gosh.
Want to watch a dog pull you around the neighborhood? Snap on that harness.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
So there's no signal there whatsoever with a harness. It just says, mm-hmm. All it says is, let's go. Hold on, yep. Mom. We're going this yep. way.
Exactly. It was fun to watch Erica Bandy's, formerly Erica McCurley, if you're really old.
I guess I'm really old because that's how I knew her.
I know. Yeah, well, she and John married forever. I don't know, 30, 40 years probably. But maybe more. Yeah, maybe more than 40. Anyway, she showed her pointers on a Resco and she took it off. It was just beautiful to watch, you know.
She was such, we used to call her like she could shape anything out mm-hmm. there, you know. She could make your iris set her look like a pointer if she wanted yep. to. She was just so.
You could hear their bones crack.
She was so good though. She yeah. was so yeah. good at that, you know, just yep. those two hands and shaping things and.
Yeah,
and she was always good at moving them too, and she always had Rescos on them. All the dogs,
yeah,
oh, yeah. everything was Rescos.
Yeah, I mean, none of us run as well as we did when we were 30, but she kept the right speed in her dogs.
Yeah,
because you know pointer fronts will throw themselves around if you're not paying attention, and
some of them will, you know.
Yeah. Some of the handlers would go faster and faster, and the fronts would go flailing all over the place. Yeah. Yay, looks great, you know. But yeah, we had a great time down there. You know, Perry's an interesting place. People might say they might say, how is the National Fairgrounds in Perry, Georgia? Well, that's what they might say because the airport's an hour and a half in traffic, 2 hours away.
Is it really?
They might say, yeah. Yeah, they might say that because Atlanta is an hour and a half at least away from Perry, right? Well, it's because Sam Nunn, a politician from that area, somehow convinced, you know, some, what do they call it? Pork, where they, or Christmas, whatever they do, they hang stuff on other bills. And all of a sudden they convinced the taxpayers they need national fairgrounds in his little village, which is a crossroads with a church at one point, right? So now you've got this megalopolis called Perry, Georgia, and there's Sam Nunn Boulevard, which the locals call Burger Boulevard, because it's nothing but fast food chains. Nothing but fast food chains. There is a restaurant in Perry, Georgia. It's a Longhorn. Good luck getting in after 4 o'clock. But it's full of, I don't know. I don't want to diss the area. It's a great dog show. These clubs do a great, great job. But you have to get your hotel reservations in advance if you want a decent one, and you have to plan your food accordingly. But and it's an hour and a half from the airport, like I said. But you know, when you get there, it's beautiful, yeah. and all these buildings, you don't have to worry about the weather. It was funny, there were people that were complaining about pointers being indoors. It rained so hard. And we just kept smiling, going, no, this is where you want. It's a good thing it wasn't outdoors today. This building was great. It did have these big slow-moving fans, giant slow-moving fans over the whole barn. And some of the dogs didn't like that at all. They'd look up and see that slow fan, and that was not good. But the ring, as I said, 100 by 80 was awfully large. It worked out great when a zillion specials came in. It was really nice. You know, we had a great time. It's just the people you go for. And if people complained over the weekend, over the 4 days about judging or whatever, it's, you know, like I said, good dogs won every day. But different maybe from some people like, but they're all good dogs. You're sitting there and you're showing the world what you've bred and what you have. That's what nationals are all about. People ought to get over it and just realize this is a convention. This is to share time with your friends.
Exactly. That's what it is. It's a place
to learn.
It's a convention.
It's a place to learn. Yeah. You go there to learn. And you go there to look at dogs. I saw some dogs there I would have never considered for breeding. I never heard of the people. But I'm looking at them real close now going, where the hell did they come from? One of them came from Ontario. Beautiful moving dogs with pretty heads. And, you know, you just start to look and go, well, you know, you have to realize why you're there. To get angry when you don't win in a national, I get it in the moment, but in the bigger picture, there's so much more to go in for. And they did it. The Pointer Club did an excellent job. Everything about the show was great. The show grounds were great, you know, restaurants and hotels aside. beautiful facility, great parking, you know, giant. They have so many RV hookups there. Yeah, the place was, it was just, you have to make the best of it. And you, the best part, of course, is the, now they have all the buses and stuff. Oh, and Patty Haynes was there.
Oh,
another 50-year or 40-year greeter. You know? We had the best time together. And they've got this giant 45-foot Prevo with the big awnings. And you've got, you know, there's people sitting around looking at puppies together and having a beer and talking about the old times and the new times, and the new dogs. And that's what it's all about.
That is. It's definitely what it's. And it used to be like that up here, too. We used to sit around and talk about dogs. And
yeah. I remember your Aubrey shows were like that. Yep. After Besson shows, a party, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Right. And like I had this, we were talking, you were talking about different dogs winning each day. But I remember it was actually Garrett Lambert, because I would get myself, I was young, and I'd get myself all bent out of shape losing to so-and-so. And he'd take me over there and he'd go through, he'd say, okay, look at the dog that just beat you. And then he'd make a case for every point, you know?
Yeah.
He said, there's plenty of good dogs. And he said, you have to start looking at it that way, or are you going to make yourself crazy? And he was.
I made that mistake. One day I was like, that can't be, this is terrible. And anybody would ask me how it's going. I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, and I was wrong. You know, I was wrong.
Yep.
I should have just sat, when I sat back and looked, they were worthy winners. Did dogs walk that shouldn't have walked? Of course. The dogs not make cuts that should have made cuts, in my opinion. And in the old league group we had there. Yeah. But that's going to happen. And we're not in there.
Again, the case goes, you know, you've got 2 minutes a dog. And maybe that dog, that every time the judge looked at it, was something that was bothering him.
Absolutely. There was a dog there that I swore didn't have two. And if it did, they were buried somewhere. I didn't think it was a dog. He was standing right in front of me. And then I'm like, why is there a bitch in this class? Oh, wait a second. And he was there all 4 days. Interesting what people check for. But I don't know. Maybe they were there. You could feel them. But that's, you know, breeding stock. It's something I check for. You know? Or put more weight on than others, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, we don't flip them over and check for spay neuter marks either, do we? I mean, spay marks, do we? No. Jamie Hubbard and Doug Johnson were there. And Brody and I spent a lot of time talking with them after the breed every day. We'd go over the all breed building. Those guys are encyclopedias. And you want to just talk about, you know, I want to learn about a certain breed. One of them is going to know about it, you know, in gun dogs especially. But they're so much fun to talk to. And Charlie Olvis and Liz were there. And they were just a great, fun bunch of people. And lots to learn from all the people. You just have to ask. There was a guy in the ring, in the toy group ring. And big, tall guy. I'd never met him. And I'm sitting there watching the toy group. And he stops. And he comes over and he points and he goes, "No one writes like you." And I said, "Well, thank you." And he goes, "I'm Armando." Well, Armando ends up being the coolest guy ever and a great breeder.
King, yes. Yeah,
super guy. But it was fun to hear comments about the podcast and articles and all that stuff. And you catch up with everybody. Great vendors, too. Super bunch of vendors. And we forget about that. When you need steering wheels and tools, there better be. How do you do with vendors up there? You have a decent representation?
We used to have a lot. Now we get one. And yeah. I thank God we do, but it's been really hard up here to get things. Whenever I go to the States, I end up going and getting any supplies I need.
Yeah.
It's just been difficult. It's really been difficult during the pandemic to get supplies.
Right. Well, these are big shows.
You have to go on wagons and the horses and the dog farms, and it's hard to get the stuff up there.
You bring the penicillin up to Antarctica with the sled dogs and you bring back a good pair of scissors. I understand.
That's very difficult.
Anyway, what else is on your mind, young William?
Well, we got a lot of mail this week, Wayne.
Yeah, we sure did. We're never going to get all of them. We need to get, by next week, we promise to answer your emails.
Yeah.
We got a ton this week.
We did. And it was, and they're all very positive.
Yeah, they were.
Which makes great. Them great. They talk about, you know, their, different people we should talk to, and just good ideas. I think we should off air go through them all and decide what we should do about them, because they're all worth responding to.
Yep. I got to tell you, it feels pretty good when some people have been in the sport forever. Send you a nice one. Ann White, Ann Ramsbottom White, Cambria Dobermans. Yeah. And she had pointers years ago when I knew her, when I first met her. Real nice to hear from her. Some great ideas.
I love that they just like, they look forward. They tell us how much they look forward to hearing the podcast.
Yeah, we can't figure out why.
Yeah.
But it's nice to hear it anyway.
My mom watched, she's still waiting for last week. She's not sure.
My nephew, who's never been to a dog show, I don't think, told me this weekend, he goes, oh, I've listened to a couple of them. I listened to a few of them. So hi, Jason and Matt. How are you doing down there, boys?
Well, that's what I wanted to say. When I was at Champlain, Alan and Thora Brown came for a visit one day.
So I had a really good time
sitting and talking to them during, we watched certain breeds, and it was just fun. It was just great. Yeah. And then they just got a new Grand Cherokee. So I had to go in the parking lot and see their Grand Cherokee and how comfortable it was. Those new vehicles, I think it takes all the fun of driving away, but.
Yeah. Brody and I are car guys. And by the way, halfway on the drive, we're like, now that is the new whatever. So we pull into my sister's house and the garage door is open to greet everybody, because that's the way you go in. And beautiful house in a beautiful neighborhood.
I met your sister at
Target. Yeah. Oh, and I meant to tell you that. Her granddaughter. She was very, I don't know, it was Miss P won best. So what, 10 years ago, maybe? I don't know how long
ago. Was it 10 years ago? Seems like it. Right? Okay, never mind.
You know what?
It was just last week.
2014, probably, right?
Yeah.
Yikes. So that's 8 years ago.
It's getting there.
Anyway, she was, 10, 12 years old. And my sister, she was going to buy her something and she wanted this necklace. And Randy said, just wait. And, we'll find something else. And then you won, I guess it was reserve best in show or something.
I don't remember.
Or best in show, one of the two. And you gave her the rosette. And I'm telling you, Randy said she had it framed in a shadow box in her bedroom. It means that so much to her. And she turned to my sister's name is Randy. And she turned to Randy and said, I don't need a necklace anymore, Nanny. I don't need anything. This is it. It meant so much to her. And she works in a kennel now after school. She's in high school and works in a kennel after school and loves the dogs. And she's a great horse rider too. She's into that. And, I think little things like that hook the fish, right?
They do. And I've always made, and now that was a special case because I felt like she was related to Pete. So, I've often done that where I'll see somebody watching all day long and there you can see they're getting excited watching the dog show. And then the dog I'm showing wins something and I would hand them the ribbon for her. So they have a memento for the day. And it's just amazing. I've had people come back like years later saying they come back each year because I did that or someone did that too for them.
And yeah. And come to think of it, that's one more best in show ribbon from Miss P than I have, Will.
I think I gave most of them away.
Yeah. I have none. I have a Canadian best in show. I don't have an Asian best. Or actually Brody took the best in show ribbon. I saw it hanging down at his house when I was down.
I have that picture of Brody with the ribbon. Yeah. It's a great picture. He's holding me in the ribbon and it's great.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Fun you guys drove up in the convertible and to see her win the best in show that day. That was fun.
Yeah, I had a new Mercedes SL550 hardtop convertible. Oh man, that thing was sweet.
It was fun.
Yeah, I remember we pulled up to the toll booth on the way back and we had the top down. And first of all, they're going to look at you because you're driving the sports car. But the guy comes out and we handed them the passports, right? And he looks at Brody and he goes, "Is this really your father?" Because Brody's very tall. In a convertible, it was very apparent how tall he was compared to me. Brody's like, "Yes, it says it right on the passport. You sure as good." Yeah. All right, go ahead. Beautiful. So we get to my sister's and the garage door's open and we pull in and Brody goes, Uncle Peter got a new car. And we are car guys. We know them all. We didn't know what this was. And that's hardly ever happens. And first we thought, is it one of those new Lucents? And then, no, it didn't look like that. It was a Polestar. And it's an all-electric car that Volvo makes. They have a separate brand called Polestar. Okay. They didn't say Volvo on the car. In fact, it says Polestar in little tiny letters, so you really can't tell what it is. But it's the first electric car I've driven. And I'm telling you, we took it for a spin. When you put your foot on the gas pedal, you need to be very careful because you are going really fast exactly at the moment you press that gas. There's no building up of speed. You're doing 30 and then you're doing 70, just like that. It's a really strange, incredible feeling of speed and power. But when you let off the gas, guess what happens, Will?
It shuts off.
You stop. I mean, there's no coasting. There's
so
no
it's like your electric train set.
Exactly. Or a golf cart. It's like a golf cart, right? You take your foot off the golf cart gas, it's going to slow down.
Electric train set better. That was more fun.
But it's pretty cool. I'm having a charger put in the new house just in case someday. But could you imagine if there was dog show vans that could go very long distances that were electric and we didn't have to worry about? Because there are people saying they're not going to the Irish Center National in Colorado because it's going to cost them too much to get there. Right?
I'm entered and I haven't decided if I want to, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you're entered? Oh, cool.
Entered, yeah.
And it's coming up soon, isn't it?
Yeah.
When? You don't know, do you?
Well, I can look it up. I have it right in front of me, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I live by this stupid calendar. I don't have a calendar. Everybody says, why don't you do this on your phone? Well, I don't know.
I can tell you, I need big pieces of paper with all of them. Because if I scroll by my phone, I can tell what day it is, but it's like GPS. I can't see the whole picture of the month. I have a spreadsheet that hangs in front of my computer with all my assignments, but I forget to put the new ones on there, and that can get you in trouble, Will.
It looks like it's in June, but I don't have it marked down. I know it's not the same weekend as Westminster. That sucks. I have Westminster marked down.
Oh, wow. I don't. You know what? I'm looking at my calendar of events, and I don't have Westminster on there, and I'm stewarding. I better make sure that works out.
Why don't you have a calendar on your phone? We do.
I wouldn't tell me. I can't see the big picture of the month. Yeah. I got my teeth fixed. I cracked a tooth, and now it looks like I have chiclets in there, didn't it? Well,
did a pretty good job.
Yeah, very nice. We should never do YouTube because we couldn't do these things. I just bared my teeth to Will by lifting.
No, this is, I hate to tell you, this is the debut. This is our YouTube debut. Doc told us that.
You would not have had your hat on backwards earlier. We both have. I show up with a Seattle Kraken sweatshirt this morning, and Will's got a Toronto Maple Leaf sweatshirt this morning, and we haven't mentioned hockey yet. So
exactly. That's people like when we ramble. I noticed that in some of the fan mail. People when we ramble about hockey.
Yeah, but there's no hockey today because how Maple Leafs are doing well, right?
Well, they're doing great. Yeah,
Kraken not so much.
No, Kraken not so much. But the last 13 games were 11-1-1. I think it's
Jeez. Well, Seattle. I don't know if this was a publicity thing or what, but a couple of rappers bought a share in the team. Oh. Macklemore is one of them. I don't know any of these people. None of them. I don't know anything about that. But apparently, two of them bought a minority share, and I guess that's cool, right?
Well, there's talk. I don't want to start any rumors or anything. There's talk that Justin Bieber's looking at the Ottawa Senators.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. Which will be strange because he's a huge Maple Leafs fan.
Is he really?
Yeah. Huh. He comes to the game all the time.
What did Michael Bubbles? He's a Canadiens fan?
Michael Bublé.
Bublé. Yeah.
I think he's a Vancouver Canucks fan.
Oh, it is Vancouver. Yeah, it is Vancouver. But yeah, I think I've told you this. I have told you this. We went to a Michael Bubbles concert because Haley wanted to go. Concert. And by the way, he's a fine young man. He puts on a great show. I hated
Canada's to say, Frank Sinatra.
I hated to say it, but I enjoyed the daylights out of it. Well, Haley wanted to go see him, and I'm glad I tagged along. Actually, we did it twice. But
you still say Bubble?
It's Bublé. I know that. It's the commercial, right? Isn't there a commercial? He's sitting there signing the cans of Bublé or whatever. Anyway.
He's a funny guy.
we were standing, he was set up on the stage at United Center in Chicago, and he was right where the net would be. And I thought it was ironic because that's where the Blackhawks beat the Canadians that year in the playoffs. And a couple minutes went by and people started doing the do. And he had to acknowledge that he was on the losing end of that game, standing in that very spot where his goalie let in, the, you know. So, hey, and
Uh-oh, you lost it. What?
I lost it. Goalie, famous goalie, out for a year back.
Oh, Carey Price.
Yeah. So welcome back, Carey Price. And wish you the best, except when you play.
That's right. I have no hard feelings. I tell Habs fans that all the time. I have no hard feelings about their team. I think Martin St. Louis is a great guy. He's going to be a great coach for them.
Yeah.
Just don't do it against us.
That's right.
Win as many games as you want.
That's right. Leave Marty home. Maybe he gets a foot rash that day and you get to stay back home and you can apply
even,
your
victory. I even loved him when he played for Tampa Bay. What a great player he was.
Remember, were you with me when in the locker room when Marty came out? He's about 4'11".
Yeah, he's not a very big guy. He's our size for sure.
But we're built a little differently though, Will.
Yeah.
He is just packed with muscle. His legs were crazy.
He was undrafted. He was signed by Calgary. Calgary signed him, not drafted. And then he didn't make it for Calgary and he joined up with Tampa.
Did that ever work out?
Tryout or something. I forgot. But he ended up winning the Hart Trophy.
Steve was telling me a story. Steve Downey was telling me a story when he played with Marty in Tampa. They were down two. And Marty just sat there with his head down third period and then looked up and said, I got this, boys. And he went out and scored three goals in like 15 minutes, came back to the locker room at the end of the game and threw up for about a half an hour and looked up and goes, that's the way you do it.
I'm sure.
Just went out there and laid every ounce on the line.
Yeah.
That's a captain. That's the kind of guy that you look up to and go, man, if he can put his life, if he can just dial up to 300% and go out there puking and scoring and doing what he's got to do, we can all step it up. Right.
Marty made his line mates a lot of money.
Oh, he sure did. He did. Including Stammer, you know, including Stammer. But I still have the Steve Downey, Steven Stamkos cover of Hockey News, Stammer and the Hammer that they signed. Remember that?
Oh, Downey was a little hammer though. Jesus, man. Still seeing when he played for the Flyers, going around the net, just hammering somebody. Oh,
and for the public that doesn't,
not very big either.
No, he's not at all. For the public that Steve Downey is, he's the kind of guy that you hated if he wasn't on your team, and you loved him if he was on your team. And we're here to tell you, we know him very well, that Steve is one of the nicest guys in the sport, the world. Couldn't do anything for you.
And he owns a dog and he had it shown.
Yes, he did. That's right. A German Shepherd. He called me to get one and he didn't listen to me. Of course, he got one on his own. But he
won one up here and I saw it being shown every day. And Irwin's a good buddy of mine who actually
read the dog for him.
He would tell me every time he got points, oh, Steve's dog got 2 points today.
Oh, he was thrilled. He made him a champion pretty quick. And home he went to hang out on the farm. Anyway, I think we're getting there, aren't we, Will?
Yep, I think that's it for the day.
Yeah.
I missed a phone call from Doug.
Oh, no. Well, there we go. Doug Belter, we got to mention him. He wasn't there.
That's probably because he's somehow listening and we hadn't mentioned his name yet. So
that's right.
He called me for his cameo on the podcast.
Well, and not to mention Brody too many times, but he did get his puppy. We picked her up in Paris. She's adorable. Oh, and it was hysterical. We got back to his house. His dog, Archie, his pointer, Archie, who's, I don't know, three or something, who's a wild hare anyway. The two of them looked at each other like, oh, my God, this is going to be fun. And they just ran around the dining. There's a loop of the dining room living room. Just ran around until they passed out. They were absolutely hysterical. This puppy's got, there's no backing off with this one. She's hysterical. But lots of fun. It's all about that, folks. It's all about the puppies, the house dogs, the friends, even Doug Belter. that keep the sport rolling and the great parts of a national specialty like we had in Perry. Hats off to the Pointer Club, to the breeders awesome. And exhibitors and judges who all made it fun. And we sure had a great time. So nothing like a national, nothing exactly. like it.
And the same thing, not to the same extent, but the Champlain Kennel Club for yes. that area, they sure put on a good event and it was well supported by the town. So
yeah, thank you. This is so much fun, right? This yeah. is a great sport. You just have to look at the positive parts.
Exactly.
There's many of them. Don't listen to us. Think of the positive.
Anyway. Keep up with a fan mail. Don't listen
That's
to
That's right. Yeah, we love it. We love it. And we will. What we need to do is just have a fan mail section and read them and talk about right. them.
We can promise. Like Letterman. We have letters. We have yeah. letters.
We promise.
They still have Letterman? He's gone now, isn't he?
Yeah. I just wrote it in my little black book. Yeah. We're going to talk about that next week.
I'll put it on my calendar.
Yeah, your phone calendar.
It's gone forever. I don't know how to find the damn thing.
the
frozen pizza.
Yeah, the calendar that worked best for me is called, I don't know if you have one. It's called a Cheryl Cavanaugh. And yeah, you just wake up one. And ask her, what the hell are we doing today, honey? Might want to train AJ.
They didn't work either.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a good one, everybody. Thanks for listening and keep those fan mails. Maybe they hate us. I don't know. Emails coming. And we'll see you again. Voice willing. We'll see you again next week. And sorry for the gap last week again. Hope you're all having fun and driving safe down the road to the dog shows. Young William, take us out, buddy.
Stay safe out there and party on, Garth.
Party on, young William.
Party on, Garth.
I'm born no way.
You better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace, bury my sins.
So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. We love you, Ernie. From where I need to go.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
To see the world and take the thanks, Ernie. Don't hold back.